Welcome to the Way Fellowship Church of Dallas podcast series. Please enjoy this message by our own senior pastor, Tavares Gardner.
Turn to Genesis 37. I'm going to be talking about overcoming rejection. And hopefully somewhere while I'm teaching, you will find yourselves and not nobody else. Most time when we hear messages, we think, oh, Sister So-and-so need to be here to hear this. But she's not here. You here. So you need to hear it and quit worrying about Sister So-and-so. I lost half the church right there. The story of Joseph, for those of us that have been in church any amount of time, how many, whether we were in Baptist, BTU training, Baptist Training Union. We had BTU in the Baptist church where we learned the Bible. And then in Church of God in Christ, we had YPWW. Mm-hmm. It was all training. Then in Baptist church and in the Koja church, we both had Sunday school. And if you went to Sunday school, how many people in here went to Sunday school growing up? I thought it was boring, but now that I've gotten older, I remember some of the stories from Sunday school. Anybody remember some stories? And if you've been in Sunday school, if you've been in BTU or YPW, you've probably heard the story of Joseph. Anybody in here heard the story of Joseph? And Joseph was one of the 12 sons of Jacob. And the Bible says in Genesis 37 that Joseph was the most loved out of all the brothers, which caused his brothers to hate him. And to make it even worse, that Jacob gave Joseph a coat of many colors, which infuriated his brothers even the more. And if that were not bad enough, the fact that Joseph had two dreams that he told his family, that they were going to end up bowing down to him. I'm just giving you the backdrop of Genesis 37 because that's where this series is coming from. We're going to take it from this, and I'm just giving you the history of it so we don't have to read it, but you can go home and read it for yourself. So the overcoming rejection is coming from Genesis 37. And so he told his brothers and his family the dream, and that made them even more angry with him. And then they started rejecting him. So one time Jacob said, go and find your brothers. So they went to Shechem to find his brothers. And as they saw Joseph coming, if you read on chapter 37, they saw him coming. They said, here come that dreamer. And so while Joseph was coming, they decided to devise a plan to kill Joseph because they hated their brother. Some of you may have come from large families, and you may have seen a sibling, or maybe you are the sibling that mama and daddy cherish the most. Somebody said, no, it was too many of us. Oh, but there's one that mama always chose to do something. And so, especially when you come from large families, and so they said, here come this. So they end up throwing him into a cistern. An old well. And they took his coat and they dipped it in some blood to pretend like Joseph was dead. Rejection. I wonder what was going on in Joseph's mind when his brothers, his own family, started hating him, started rejecting him. Is anybody in here, you know, your family members, it's always something about you that people in your family can't stand. Do I have any truthful folks in here? And they've always said, you always different. Oh, I ain't got no help in here. As if your difference is a label on your back to say, reject me. Maybe you're not the right size or the right color, and all of your brothers and your sisters are a little bit lighter than you, and you come out dark. Do you not know that prejudice runs in our families? Well, why are you dark and your mom is, and your mom and dad is, they light? I can't hear nobody say nothing. Why all your brothers high yelling got green eyes and you dark? I can't hear nobody. And your hair don't look like theirs. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Because you are different, you're rejected even in your own family. Well, why come everybody in your family is tall and skinny and you come out plump? Come on, I ain't heard nobody say, come on, I'm talking true. I'm talking true. Why you come out big and everybody else in your family is tall and skinny and a size 3 and a size 2 and you come out of the size, you and you end up being a size 16, 18. And so your family starts looking at you differently, like, why you can't put that food down? And then because they start criticizing you, food now becomes your God. And you start turning to food because food ain't going to criticize you. It'll just add more weight to you. But it will never talk back to you. Because you find comfort in things that don't criticize you. Why do you think you, oh, let's move on. All right, so anyway, Genesis chapter 37, read it. Look at verse 4. I'm skipping around, but the whole backdrop of this message is coming from, and it's going to be a series, it's coming from Genesis 37. Look at verse 4 real quick. I just highlighted a few verses in 37. When his brothers saw, verse 4, 37, verse 4, when his brothers saw that their father loved Joseph more than he loved them, they hated their brother so much that they would not even speak to him in a heart and in a friendly manner. You ever go to family functions and you walk in and you can tell when folks talking about you? Hey, have you ever walked in the family function and folks all huddle up in the corner, and as soon as you walk in, they start dispersing like roaches? I remember when Bishop Gant died and we had family in my house. Touch your neighbor, say in my house. In my house. Touch your neighbor, say in my house. No, not your house, my house. Point to me and say my house. Say your house, your house. They was in my house. And there were some particular people that were very disgruntled that I was chosen to be next in line as the pastor here, that have no dealings with this ministry, but was upset that Bishop appointed me as pastor. So when he died, these people were in my house. Everybody say, yeah, in my house, in my house. And I know they didn't like me, because they thought I was inexperienced. And how can a boy run a church? Well, here we are 8 years later. It's nothing worse than to be rejected by your family members. And so they was in my house on the day of the funeral. And I was sitting at my keyboard with my shades on, ready for the limo to come pick us up. And as my shades were dark, so you couldn't see, and you couldn't see what if I'm looking at you, which I like to wear shades every once in a while so I can see what you're saying. So it won't be obvious that I'm looking at you. And so some people were huddled up in my house. While I had my shades on, I was actually sitting at my Fender Rhodes. I was sitting at the Fender Rhodes, sitting there, and I had my shades on, and I was just looking and observing. I was very quiet. I was just looking and observing, and because I knew these people in my house didn't care for me, but you in my house. And I could have said, no, you can't come in, but I didn't want to be rude. And so they end up being huddled up in a little corner. And so my Fender Rhodes was facing them with my shades on. And I saw them talking to each other, but looking at me while I'm looking at them. I said, I see you. But what God has planted, what God has ordained, no man can pluck up. But these were the same ones that even prophesied that I would be next. And when my next came, they couldn't receive it. What I want you to understand is that this is, I have to say this, but then I got to get back. Most chosen people, you want to write this down, ain't going to cost you nothing, are rejected people. Most of the people that God has chosen go through some type of rejection. Look at David, his own family. David was in the backfield watching sheep. And all the brothers came up before Samuel. And Samuel, the oil would not flow. But the oil was reserved for the eighth child named David, the one that they didn't even think was worth anything. Let's deal with overcoming rejection. So you can read chapter 37 for yourself in your own leisure, because I got to hit some things that we need to talk about. And as I told you on Wednesday night, and I saw a couple of posts on Facebook, I warned the people on Wednesday night that if you have a root of rejection inside of you, and I'm teaching on it, all hell is going to break loose. And I saw some people from the church post on Facebook and tag me and said, Apostle, you were right, because all hell has broken loose. I told you that when you are dealing with something and you hearing it preached across this pulpit, the Lord and the devil are going to have a conversation about you. Let's talk about reasons for rejection. Everybody say reasons for rejection. I want you to understand that spirits, demonic spirits, are unable, everybody say unable, to enter a person at will. Did you hear what I said? Spirits are what? Unable to enter a person at will. We must, everybody say, I must have open doors. Rejection causes a wound. What does it do? An opening. A door through which evil spirits will and can enter. Satan, listen, forms, I want you to understand this, you might want to write this down. Satan forms a strategy to capture our lives at the time of conception. Because you are most vulnerable inside your mother's womb. Satan is unable to do all that he would like to do, for he is limited in his legal rights. He can only take advantage of negative conditions in our lives. How can he take advantage? Of negative conditions in our lives. I want you to know that it is common to discover that demons have entered a person when he was yet in his mother womb. Rejection, everybody say rejection, is an evil spirit which frequently gains prenatal entrance. Did you hear that? Prenatal entrance. A demon of rejection finds ground or legal right to enter when the parents reject their child's very conception. Why might a baby be rejected from the time of conception? For one thing, a child may be conceived in lust rather than love. So if your child, if you were born in lustful situations, your mom and daddy just hooked up, Then your daddy don't want to have nothing to do with the mama. Your mama's left with the package. That child has a spirit of rejection already. A baby can even feel stuff in the womb. That's why mothers, as I said Wednesday night, you have to be very careful of the environment that you are in when you are carrying a child within the womb. Amen. The man and woman who conceives a child through fornication and adultery. There are children that have been born in adultery. You're married, and then you tips out with the side piece, and the side piece gets pregnant. And the side piece will not abort the baby. If anything, she's going to use it as motivation to try to get you to pull away from your family. Oh, I'm not talking about in the world. I'm talking about in the church where we're speaking in tongue. Did you hear what I said? Where we're speaking in tongue and dancing and frothing at the mouth, but you got secrets. And I do want you to understand that secrets will kill you. They will manifest into sickness and disease if you don't release these secrets. Secrets will even torment your mind where you can't even sleep and have peace at night. Oh, do I have any witnesses in here that you have held secrets and the secrets has tormented your mind? Oh. An unwanted pregnancy is the result of unrestrained lust. Did you hear what I said? Few illegitimately conceived babies are wanted and loved. The child is rejected at life's beginning. Here's some other prenatal rejections. I'm talking about prenatal rejections. Number one, conceived too soon after marriage. I try to tell couples, but sometimes they don't listen. Don't have a baby so quick. I'm not trying to control you. I'm just trying to hope you, as the old people say. I'm trying to hope you because you two just got married. You didn't even have time to discover one another. There are things about you that you probably didn't know until you got married and started living together. I hope you weren't living together before you... But anyway, that's a whole different message. But anyway, so when two people come together and start living in the same house, then you start seeing the ugly side of the person that you didn't know they had until you got married and started sleeping in the same bed and started living. You didn't know how nasty they were and how they don't clean up behind them, how they don't put the toilet seat down. And in the midnight hour, women, I can't hear nobody because he raised the toilet seat up and you plopped down. You almost fall. I can't hear nobody say nothing right there. Why y'all not saying nothing? Mama Minnie has her head now, shaking her head. You didn't know how nasty they were. You didn't know none of this until. And so now, you know. Lord, are y'all finna run out? Brother Lord, are they finna leave me? And so you haven't had enough time to get to know one another. And then, you know, we waited, Lady Garner and I, we waited 5 years before we had children. Because we wanted to go out of town. And if we just wanted to lay around the house and do nothing. Yeah. if we just wanted to go out of town and didn't have to worry about children arrangement and who can they stay with and added extra bill and groceries when you have milk, Similac, if you're not breastfeeding, or Enfamil, or whatever kind of milk, if they're allergic to Similac, then you got to find some type of special milk. I can't hear nobody say nothing, because if this milk will break them out, and you got to try all different kind of milk, and then these cases by the milk, they're about $40 a case, maybe $60 a case. And you just added an extra bit. So I tell couples, well, just hold on. Use some BCs. I'm sure the children are going to ask y'all, what are they talking about, BCs? So y'all all going to have some explaining to do. What is BCs? So I say, just wait a couple of years before you get pregnant, right after marriage, because you got to find out who you is. Has he ever seen you without your wig on? How do you really look without makeup? I'm serious. Y'all laughing, but I'm telling the truth. Has he ever seen you without your eyelashes on? You got to discover one another. You got to have time to discover one another. And so having a baby too soon just makes it just adds extra pressure onto an already marriage that you got to work through. And I don't care if you are equally yoked. You still got to learn one another. So conceive too soon after marriage. The newlyweds plan to wait a while before starting their family. The baby becomes an intrusion in the parents' plan and is rejected. Another example of the reason of prenatal rejection is that the virtuous young woman who becomes pregnant while on her honeymoon, the bride begins to worry. What if the baby becomes premature? Who will believe I was not already pregnant before I got married? Because you know how we do. Well, child, they just got married last month. Let's see, January, February, March, April, May, June, July. Child, she was already pregnant. They were screwing and hoeing before they even got. Y'all know how we be counting. Y'all be counting, don't you? You be counting. Y'all be counting. Be trying to add up. Child, let me check this out. Hold on. Yeah, she was already pregnant. Then y'all have a whole debate. Well, no, she couldn't have been pregnant, because I calculated and she said her due date is September. Y'all be so informed, but you can't even calculate your bills on time, but you worried about somebody. But you worried about when somebody got pregnant and you late on bills. Calculate them bills and that budget and pay your bills on time while you're trying to calculate when she got pregnant. Oh, you didn't think I was coming for you, did you? But I did. I sure did. Worry about yourself. Touch your neighbor and say, worry about you and leave me alone. Number two, conceive too close to the birth of a previous child. Lord have mercy. Lady G tricked me. Caleb was 6 months old. 6 months old. And then she tricked me. Y'all point at her. She tricked me. Children 16 months apart. Caleb, 6 months. 15 months apart. And I said, you tricked me. I said, how you get pregnant that quick? Sister Kelly said, don't come for me. No, I'm just And I looked at her and I said, you pregnant? She said, no, I'm not. I can't get pregnant. I mean, well, you know, when you have a baby, you fertile. I mean, you're real fertile. I looked at her, I said, you pregnant? She said, no, I can't be pregnant. I said, you pregnant? I can look at you and tell by your face you pregnant. So we went to CVS or Walgreens and got a pregnancy test. Tavares, I'm pregnant. I said, God, doggy. How you get pregnant? How you get pregnant so quick? It's because you was hot. I'm talking about both of us. Tony, are you clenching? Tony's clenching his. So the mother-to-be groans under the realization that she would be caring for two babies in diapers at the same time. She had planned to space the births of her children further apart. The baby is therefore rejected because the birth is untimely. But we were happy because God had already showed me my children. I already knew that the second one was a girl. We already knew the first one was a boy. It was prophesied. I saw Kristen in a dream. I knew the girl was going to be next. So God had them come at the appointed time. Even though it seemed like inconvenience to us, but they were supposed to be close together. Now you can't even separate them. They fight, but they take up for one another. They can't stand to be apart from one another. They can't stand to be together. Where they do that at? Anybody got some children there? Well, your children are close, and they just be like, oh, my God. Are y'all? Why? I'm just asking the Lord, why you just didn't give us twins? Sister Cassandra said, mm-mm, because she got triplets. <That's>, why they say, ooh, why they do you like that, Sister Cassandra? So she had three. So number three, financial strain on the family is created. The baby comes as an accident. A baby can't be no accident. Because if you lay down and you did the act and you didn't use protection, touch your neighbor and say, that's not an accident. That's a purpose. All right. The baby comes as an accident and it's blamed for putting stress on an already strained family, but why you didn't have no protection? At today's hospital's cost, listen, hospital cost, birthing children is quite expensive. I think we had, how much was one of our bills? Caleb birth was over $16,000. That was in 2000, and who? Six. You sure? Oh. 2006. So imagine what it is now. It's probably double that, or triple. Thank God for insurance. And then sometimes insurance will, they don't want to pay. I'm like, all this money I pay y'all out of my check at the workhouse, y'all can't pay for this. I ain't got no help in here. I hope ain't nobody work for insurance company here. But it's just, help us out, whoever you are. Help a brother out. Right. Number four, fears. Everybody say fear. We're talking about prenatal rejection. The mother-to-be may entertain a fear of the pain of accompanying childbirth, fear of complications of pregnancy, or the fear of deformity of her child. Such fears make her wish that she had never become pregnant, which amount to the rejection in her baby. So if you're walking around in fear, Lord, how this baby gonna look? Lord, what if I can't? Just all the what ifs. You open the door for that spirit of rejection to come in because you allow fear, which is a fruit of rejection. Number five, everybody say conflict between parents. The marriage may be on the verge of divorce and it is no time to have a baby and then you find out you're pregnant. What do you do in a situation like that when you're on the verge of calling it quits and then you find out you're pregnant? Then the baby has to be born into a situation such as this, which opens the door for rejection. Parents to be, number six, already have all the children they had planned. For example, a couple determined they were going to have three children, and that was going to be their limit. Now they faced with a fourth child on the way. But you didn't use protection. Number seven, a baby may be born with rejection. Hear me. If you contemplated or attempted abortion. What happens to a baby when his rejection is so pronounced that the parents consider murdering him through abortion? There is mounting evidence that the baby is aware that his life is threatened. The baby can feel his life being threatened. Although the abortion is not actually carried out or is not successful, the desire, everybody say the desire, to kill the baby is registered in the child's awareness. As that child matures, it is not usual for him to manifest a strong fear of being harmed or murdered by his own mother. Contemplated abortion may represent a temporary rejection of the baby. After the matter of abortion has been thought through or prayed through, eventually the child may be accepted and loved. However, the initial wound would have already occurred and the evil spirits will already have taken advantage of the opening. Wrong sex preference. A child may be very much wanted until he is born. As is often the case, parents desire a boy and have a girl, or they desire a girl and have a boy. The sex preference of a child is a serious matter with some parents. Nevertheless, no matter how strong the personal preference may be, it is stupid. Everybody say stupid. To reject a child for something that was predetermined by God. Amen. So you pregnant with James, you wanted Jennifer. So then you're calling James, Jennifer, I can't wait to see you, Jennifer. Jennifer, I'm going to dress you up in so many pretty dresses and I'm going to do your hair in different bowls. And oh, Jennifer, 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 what are you doing? You're planting a seed of rejection. That's the master demon. Then you're going to have a spirit of perversion. Come on in. That child is going to be susceptible to lesbianism or homosexuality. I can't hear nobody say nothing, because he was a boy but you kept calling him a girl. And then you wonder why James starts liking dolls, starts wanting to dress up as a girl. He's starting taking interest in all of your clothes, mother, because you spoke that over him in the womb, because you are very vulnerable when you're in the womb, because there's no protection in the womb. I can't hear nobody say nothing unless you're saved, sanctified, and really aware of what you're doing with the baby. Now you think these children, they come out 1 and 2 year old, wanted to dress up and be something that they are not. That's a spirit. Oh. Touch your neighbor and say, that's a spirit. A boy is supposed to be a boy. A girl is supposed to be a girl. A girl was not designed to be a boy. And then you have some parents who will even push Well, you just be whatever you want to be. No, no, you got female parts. You are not designed to be a man. And we got Christian folks doing this dumb stuff. Well, you just be whatever you want to be. No, no. Touch a neighbor, say no. You don't be whatever you want to be. You be what God has prescribed for that child to be. And you get your instructions from the Holy Ghost. Just like Samson, I can't hear about it. The angel told Samson's mother and father, this child is going to be this, and this is what you do, and this is what you do, and this is what you do. They receive instructions from the spirit realm how to raise that child. I can't hear nobody say nothing. So again, we must be very careful how we raise children, and when you become pregnant again, or even if you're seeing signs now of your children, you have to go back to history. What happened? And then if you see your child dealing with rejection, you need to pray and ask the Lord, what do I need to do to cast this spirit out of my child? Let me tell you, deliverance is not only for grown people. Children can even go through deliverance. Oh, to touch a neighbor, say children. Children even need deliverance. I ain't heard about it say nothing. You think it's all grown-ups. No. I guarantee you, if we had deliverance service for children, we'll cut out all this stuff that's going on in the school system. We'll cut up all this stuff that's going on in your homes. But the children have to have an environment at home that's conducive for the spirit realm to dwell inside of them. You can't be doing everything, hallelujah, I can't hear about it, faking and shaking at church, hallelujah, and then when you get home, you're a different person at home in front of these children, and you want them to live holy. You want them to obey everything that you say, but you're rejecting the word of God your own self. So they're just a product of what you are. Then you want to beat them. Beat yourself first and then beat them. The baby may be rejected if they were born with deformities. He'd be like, oh no, I don't. Lord. Then you start looking at the baby funny because they didn't come out the way you imagined in your head. Now you start rejecting that baby because it's hideous. That baby feels that rejection. If a child was given up for adoption, that child suffers with rejection because they're trying to figure out, why didn't my parent want me? Why am I going from foster care to foster care to foster care? Why am I going to different, what's wrong with, is something wrong with me? Do you understand what I'm saying? Children, we all were made to be loved. And without love, Satan will come in and disrupt us. And because everybody in this room, every child that is born has a purpose, Satan's objective is to destroy that person's purpose. Am I helping somebody in this room today? The cause of rejection. Listen, if they don't know how to identify with you, they reject you. If people can identify, if they cannot identify with you, touch your neighbor and say, they will reject you. Am I helping somebody in here? Jesus, this thing is running deep. If you come from divorced parents, you will deal with rejection. because then you got to go back and forth between two houses. Or lo and behold, the mama doesn't want to have anything to do with the dad, and so the mother keeps the child away from the dad, and then you're trying to figure out as a child, well, why can't I see my daddy? But then you're always telling me bad things about my daddy, and then my daddy wants to have a relationship with me, but because y'all can't get along. Then lo and behold, if daddy ends up starting a whole different family, and then I'm over here with mama, and mama is miserable and mad, and all I see is mama crying and mad and mad and crying, and then I see dad over here happy with the other kids. I can't hear nobody say nothing. Then I'm trying to figure out what's wrong with me. This is real, y'all. This is in the church of the living God. Jesus, help us. Rejection can be a hidden inner attitude that we carry around. The problem lies in the area of the spirit. Did you hear what I say? Did you hear what I said? Let's talk about the results of rejection. The primary result of rejection is the inability to receive or communicate love. What is it? The inability to receive or communicate love. A person who has never experienced being loved cannot give out love. Did you hear what I said? A person who has not been loved cannot give love away. It is the love of God that stimulates our love for him in response. Love lies dormant until it is stimulated by another person. Did you hear that? Love stays dormant until it is stimulated by another person. Without such interaction, listen, love never comes to life. So if a person does not know the love of God or parents, an inability to love can be passed from generation to generation. A little girl is born into a family where she does not experience love. For example, she has a wound of rejection, so she cannot communicate love. She grows up, marries, becomes a mother, and has a daughter. Because she cannot communicate love to her daughter has the same problem. This terrible problem is thus perpetuated from generation to generation. Through experience and dealing with people that we counsel, that we talk to in private, myself and Lady Gardner, that we talk to, listen, I have learned and experienced in dealing with people that it opens the way for descending series of negative emotions or attitudes that go like this: rejection, loneliness, self-pity, misery, depression, despair or hopelessness, death or suicide. People who want to commit suicide, the root is rejection. People who are depressed, who go through depression, the root is rejection. Maybe you have never, what happens? There was a point a few years back that I had poured and poured and poured and poured and poured, and then all of a sudden, I end up being betrayed and rejected by the very one that I loved out of their hell. And during that time when I was betrayed and rejected as a pastor, there was a point where I almost got to the point of depression. I was right there at the door. Now, coming up out of homosexuality and being molested and all that other kind of stuff, I dealt with rejection. The root was rejection. And so to be betrayed, I can't hear nobody say nothing, and to be rejected by the person that I love out of their hell, I can't hear nobody, and for them to turn their back on me, it sent me down a spiral, a downward spiral. And it was my wife who helped me come up out of that pit. Yeah.
because I stopped wanting to eat. I didn't want to be bothered. I would go in my room and shut the door. Sometimes I would sleep. I would be in a dark room in daytime because of being rejected by someone that I loved, that I helped. Maybe y'all ain't ever been there. And let me tell y'all something. Depression is real. And I know y'all may have had a silver spoon in your mouth growing up, but let me tell you something. Depression is real, and it's happening now in the church of Jesus Christ. Some of y'all are smiling, but behind that smile, you're trying to keep from crying and killing yourself. I wish I had some help in here. You're trying everything to hold it all together, but deep inside you're crying out, you're screaming outside, you're screaming silently, I need help. If somebody don't help me, I'm going to kill myself.
Thank you for joining our podcast today. If you would like more information about our ministry, or if you would like to sow a seed, visit us at www.twfcdallas.org.